Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is a beautiful surah. Now the dominant themes in this surah are purity. Purity in all aspects of our life. Food, wives, marital relations, bodily purity, purity in dealings with people, and so on. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, awfu bil'uqood. أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يطلع عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم إن الله يحكم ما يريد. O you who believe, fulfill your commitments. This first ayat is the key to the rest of the verses. When reading all the commands that will follow, we should keep this first ayat in mind. What is that? Fulfill your commitments. If you have said La ilaha illallah, act upon it. If you have made a commitment to anyone, whether your spouse or whether your neighbor or your business partner, fulfill it. Lawful to you for food are all the beasts of cattle, except that which will be announced to you. Game being unlawful when you assume ihram for Hajj or Umrah. In these first verses, we find a few commandments as to the prohibitions of ihram. And we know that we're not allowed to hunt while we're in ihram. Indeed, Allah commands that which He wills. Any command of Allah that we read and we can't understand it or it doesn't make sense, we should remember this. Allah commands that which He wills. And if we cannot understand the wisdom, the fault lies with our own understanding, not in Allah's law. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have iman. Again and again, Allah reminds us of the commitment we've all made. We all say pehla kalma tayyab, tayyab mane paak, la ilaha illallah. If we've said it, we should act upon it. O you who believe, who claim to be Muslims, do not violate the sanctity of the symbols of Allah. What are the symbols of Allah? All those things, when we look at them, we remember Allah. The Kaaba is a symbol of Allah. This Quran is a symbol of Allah. Nor of the sacred month. Nor of the animals brought for sacrifice. Nor the garlanded people or animals. Allah is saying when people are going for Hajj, then they too bear a certain respect and sanctity. And others, nor the people coming to the sacred house, seeking the bounty and good pleasure of their Lord. But when you finish the ihram, you may hunt, and let not the hatred of some people in stopping you from the sacred mosque lead you to transgression. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Muslims that now that you're going for Umrah, don't let the fact that the pagans once tried to stop you from entering the Kaaba lead you to stoop to their level. Why? وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help one another in righteousness and Allah consciousness. That should be our focus. Not petty revenges or not thinking, well, so-and-so once said that about me, so I'm not going to go to that charity, you know, occasion that they're funding. Help one another in righteousness and Allah consciousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not help one another in sin and transgression. In other words, we should not be biased. Whatever we do should be for Allah's sake alone. We find, for instance, once Hazrat Ali was on the verge of killing a disbeliever in the midst of war. He was just about to drive his sword through him and the disbeliever spat on Hazrat Ali's face. And immediately Hazrat Ali got off and drew back his sword. And the man was astounded. He said, why didn't you kill me? You were just going to kill me and I spat at you. Hazrat Ali told him, before you spat at me, I was killing you for Allah's sake. But after you spat at me, if I had killed you, it would have been for my own sake. This is how a mu'min is supposed to be. Constantly analyzing his intentions. Am I doing this for Allah or am I doing it for people? So Allah says, rise above your petty likes and dislikes and help people in righteousness and Allah consciousness. And don't help one another in sin and transgression. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And be conscious of Allah. Whatever we do should be for Allah's sake. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ. Whoever loves for Allah's sake. وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ. And hates for Allah's sake. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ. And gives for Allah's sake. وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ. And withholds for Allah's sake. فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. It is he who has perfected iman. إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Indeed Allah is severe in punishment. Forbidden to you for food are the dead animals, in other words, animals which have not been sacrificed Islamically. Flowing blood, the flesh of swine, and that on which Allah's name has not been mentioned while slaughtering. That which has been slaughtered as a sacrifice for others than Allah, or has been slaughtered for idols. And that which has been killed by strangling, or by a violent blow, or by a headlong fall, or by the goring of horns, and that which has been partly eaten by a wild animal, unless you are able to slaughter it before its death. Now these are the categories of animals that we are not allowed to eat. If an animal dies a natural death or an accidental death, or an animal has been sacrificed but it's not been sacrificed in accordance with the Islamic method, then to eat such food is haram. And also that which is sacrificed on stone altars. In other words, when people give sacrifices in the names of buzurgs or in the names of certain peers, that is haram as well. And also forbidden are to use arrows seeking luck or decision. In other words, all forms of astrology, superstitions, unlucky numbers, black cats, all forms of gambling, all of this come within this, that you use arrows seeking luck. Why is all of this forbidden? People say, what's the harm? I'm just going to that fortune teller for fun. It's not as if I'm really going to start acting upon it. Zalikum fisq. This is forbidden because it's disobedience. It's taking you away from what your true priorities should be. Al-yawma ya'isa alladhina kafaru min deenikum. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. This day, those who disbelieved have given up all hope of your religion. So do not fear them, but fear me. Islam frees us from these fetters of superstition, from these chains of ignorance, like people who don't wear certain jewels because they say, oh, they're unlucky for us. And people who say, oh, the ruby is unlucky in our family. Why are they binding themselves down to something which Allah has not told them? Allah says this day, by obeying all of this, by rejecting all these superstitions, only then can you free yourselves from the kuffar. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa rabitu lakum al-islam deena. This day, I have perfected your religion for you, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you al-islam as a way of life. It said that this was the last ayat to be revealed. Now look at the words Allah has used. I have completed your deen for you. You don't need to take your religion from any other source. When you have this Quran, when you have this Sunnah, Islam is a way of life. We don't need anything else once we have Islam. And Allah says, and I have fulfilled my favor upon you. This is beautiful. We think of Islam as a burden, as an oppressive, crushing burden, and Allah calls it ni'mati, my favor, my blessing. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I have chosen for you al-Islam as a way of life. What an honor. When someone we love gives us a gift and says, you know, I chose this specially for you, and it took me a long time to pick the perfect gift, how honored we feel, how flattered we feel. This is Malikul Mulu, King of all kings, telling us, Raditu, I have chosen for you Muslims, Al-Islam is a way of life. And if we don't want this way of life, if we turn away, or we want the best of both worlds and we want a little bit of Islam and a little bit from outside Islam, then what can we expect? According to Abdul Hakim Murad, the earth is hired accommodation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our landlord. And for him to maintain this land, we have to pay the rent, which is worshipping Allah and obeying Allah. And according to him, the environmental crisis that we're going through these days is a direct outcome of our disobeying Allah. When we're not paying the rent, why should he maintain this earth for us? And Allah goes on to say, but as for him who is forced by severe hunger, with no inclination to sin, then surely Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. See, this is the flexibility of Islam. Allah doesn't say if you have no other options but to eat haram, then just starve to death. Allah says, no, then you can eat the haram, but with no inclination to sin. Again, Allah reminds us, constantly be analyzing yourselves, your every action, that even while eating that haram, are you inwardly delighted, or are you actually praying to Allah for his forgiveness? Then surely Allah is forgiving, most merciful. They asked you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is lawful for them? Qul, lawful unto you are at-tayyibat, the pure foods. See, this is the positive view of Islam. Everything is halal, and all that is halal is good for us, and all that is haram is bad for us. And those beasts and birds of prey, which you have trained as hounds, training and teaching them to catch in the manner as directed to you by Allah, so eat of what they catch for you, but pronounce the name of Allah over it, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and be conscious of Allah. Indeed, Allah is swift in reckoning. Now Allah reminds us that food is really important. Why? Because food symbolizes our nature, our habits, and our creed. Muslims are known by the fact that they don't eat pork. They don't eat animals which have been sacrificed in an un-Islamic manner. You know, I really didn't understand the importance of this ayat until I heard a story. And it's a true story about these two Muslim men who were traveling. They were going somewhere abroad. Now, they had already specified when they were booking their tickets that they wanted Islamic food. There was a mistake made, and when they saw the food, they realized it's not the Islamic food. Now, they were on the plane at that time. So they called the steward and they said, well, we specified that we wanted Islamic food. So the steward got really worried, obviously, because it was their responsibility. And so eventually what happened was that the plane then landed en route. They landed somewhere else. The flight was diverted just so that they could be given the Islamic food. Now, as a result of that, there was this British couple sitting right behind those two Muslims. And they came forward and they said, what's the big fuss about? Why is it so important that you eat Islamic food? What difference does it make? Why can't you eat something else? So those two Muslims were given a wonderful chance for dawah. And they told them about Islam. And at the end of the flight, that British couple actually accepted Islam. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by those two Muslims having made such a fuss just because they wanted to obey Allah, they were given the chance to call two other people to Islam. And that's an amazing accomplishment. Wattaqullah, be conscious of Allah. Indeed, Allah is swift in reckoning. Made lawful to you this day are all pure foods. The food of the people of the book is lawful to you and yours is lawful to them. But this is provided it's been sacrificed Islamically. Lawful to you in marriage are chaste women from the believers and chaste women from those who were given the book before your time when you have given their due mehr, desiring chastity, not committing illegal intercourse, nor taking them as women friends. And whosoever disbelieves in faith, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever disbelieves in faith, then fruitless is his work, and in the hereafter he will be among the losers. Now, after mentioning the fact that the Muslims are supposed to be eating halal food, after mentioning the fact that Muslim men are only allowed to marry chaste Jewish women or chaste Christian women, Allah says whoever rejects faith, in other words, to reject any of these actions, to turn away, to disobey from any one of them, is to reject faith. Then fruitless is his work. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. On that day, he will be among the losers. Now, after speaking about the physical aspects of our life, Allah turns to the spiritual aspect. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. O you who believe, when you stand up for prayer, then wash your faces and your hands up to the elbows, rub your head and wash your feet up to the ankles. We should take care that the ankles and elbows are included in this, because the Prophet ﷺ once commented, وَيْلُ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Beware of the ankles against the hellfire. In other words, people who just, you know, casually rub their hands over their feet and don't bother to wash their feet properly should beware of this. Now, look at the beauty of the words Allah has used. Allah says, when you intend to rise for prayer. In other words, it's something very important. That's why wuzu is so important. Like many people are heard to say, you know, if it weren't for wuzu, I could pray regularly, but I just find wuzu such a burden. Allah is reminding us that just as in this world, when we are going to meet someone important, for instance, you're going for a job interview, how would you prepare for the job interview? You wouldn't just get up and go in your night suit. You'd prepare yourself, you'd wash yourself properly, you'd make sure you're wearing the right clothes so that you create the right impression. Allah has told us, قُومُ لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. When you stand before Allah, remember you're standing before the King of all kings. Stand with reverence, stand with awe, and stand with dignity. So Allah says, before you go in for that meeting, you need to physically and psychologically prepare yourself. Now the beauty of wuzu is, the Prophet ﷺ told us that with every drop of water, your sins are being shed. And he went on to say, on the day of judgment, my followers will be called Al-Ghur Al-Muhajjaleen, from the traces of ablution, and whoever can increase the area of his radiance should do so. In other words, the better that your wuzu is, the more your face, inshallah, will shine on the day of judgment. If you are in a state of ritual impurity, purify yourself. But if you are ill or on a journey, or any of you comes after answering the call of nature, or you have been in contact with women and you find no water, then perform tayammum with clean earth and rub therewith your faces and hands. Just our faces and our hands. Some say till the wrist and some say till the elbows. Now, some people say, well, you know, what's the point of tayammum? And, oh, I don't feel the good of tayammum. And if they're sick, they actually won't pray at all because they'll say, no, we'll wait until we can use water. Now the point is, if Allah has given us this allowance, we should use it. And Allah is saying, use clean earth, and then you're supposed to blow it off your hands. Now we need to understand that tayammum is for our psychological satisfaction. So we feel that we have made some sort of preparation for meeting Allah. And Allah tells us the true purpose of tayammum. مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah does not want to place you in difficulty. Allah doesn't say if you can't find water, then use milk instead. But He wants to purify you and to complete His favor upon you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. In order that you give thanks. And what is our tragedy? We're too busy bemoaning how difficult Islam is and how difficult it is to do wuzu at Fajr time. Amina Silmi, this American convert, you know, she was here in Islam about several years ago. And one lady asked her that, you know, Amina, if you're living in a village, sometimes we go to a village and there's no running hot water. And it's very difficult to do wuzu. And Amina responded so beautifully and she said, I'm a Cherokee Indian by birth. And every winter I go to the birthplace of my ancestors in the mountains. And every Fajr I wake up and it's been snowing and the water is covered over with ice. And we take an axe and we hack a hole in the ice. And then we perform wuzu. And you know what she went on to say? And all the time, I'm brimming over with joy and love for Allah, that Allah has given me this chance. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ In order that you give thanks. And remember Allah's favor to you and His covenant with which He bound you. When you said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا We hear and we obey. What is our heart's response after reading these verses? We hear and we obey, or let me think about it. And fear Allah, wattaqullah. Indeed Allah knows the secrets of your hearts. If you're not saying anything to anyone, but in your heart there's this resentment, Allah knows about it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as just witnesses. And let not the enmity and hatred of others make you avoid justice. I'adilu, be just. Huwa aqrabu littaqwa, because that is nearer to Allah consciousness. And fear Allah. Indeed Allah is well acquainted with what you do. The irony is that Muslims today are famed for their treacheries, famed for their breaking promises, and Allah says, stand out firmly for Allah as just witnesses. Allah has promised those who believe and do good deeds that for them is forgiveness and a great reward. And those who disbelieve and deny our verses are those who will be the dwellers of the hellfire. O you who believe, remember the favor of Allah to you when some people desire to stretch their hands against you. But Allah held back their hands from you. Wattaqullah. So be conscious of Allah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And in Allah let the believers put their trust. This refers to two incidents. One was, there was about a group of 80 Meccans who planned to ambush the Muslims. But they were all caught and released. And this was the favor of Allah. And it also refers to that well-known story which we all, you know, are familiar with. When once the Prophet ﷺ was sitting alone and unarmed underneath the shade of a tree. And he was resting in the afternoon. And suddenly, as from nowhere, this Bedouin appeared, gleefully brandishing his sword and exclaiming, Now who's going to save you from me? And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him without fear and said calmly, Allah. And the man was so unnerved by the way the Prophet said it, that the sword just dropped from his grasp. And immediately the Prophet ﷺ picked it up. And because he had a great sense of humor, he said, Now who will save you from me? And the Bedouin fell to his knees and started begging for mercy. Oh, please forgive me and, you know, may God reward you for that. See, that's the difference when we believe in Allah and when we believe in people. When we believe in Allah, then we fear Allah alone. And that grants us courage and conviction. And when we fear people, then, you know, we've got a multitude of gods. Alallahi falyatawakkalil mu'minun. In Allah let the believers put their trust. What is true tawakkal? Not that you sit back blindly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed the sword when the man dropped it. Like a man who entered the mosque and said that I've left my camel outside, I'm trusting in Allah. And the Prophet said, no, اَعْقَلْ وَتَوَكَّلْ First tie the camel, then trust in Allah. The Muslim is supposed to do what he can to save himself and then rely upon Allah, knowing that ultimate victory and defeat come from Allah and Allah alone. Indeed, Allah took the covenant from the children of Israel, and we appointed 12 leaders among them. And Allah said, I am with you if you establish salat, and give zakat, and believe in my messengers, honor and assist them, and lend a beautiful loan to Allah. Indeed, I will expiate your sins, and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow. What has been mentioned here? Salat, zakat, supporting the messengers. Now we might say, well, the Prophet ﷺ is no longer with us, how do we support him? By supporting his cause, by studying, implementing and conveying his ahadith. As the Prophet ﷺ once said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَا Convey my message, even if it's one verse, even if you know little. People say, well, I don't know much, so how can I convey? The Prophet said, even if you know one line, convey it. And lend a beautiful loan to Allah, then I will expiate your sins and admit you into gardens, under which rivers flow. But if any of you after this disbelieves, he has indeed gone astray from the straight path. So because of their breach of their covenant, we cursed them and made their hearts grow hard. They changed the words from their right places and have abandoned a good part of the message that was sent to them. And you will not cease to discover deceit in them except a few of them. But forgive them and overlook their misdeeds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Indeed Allah loves those who do ihsan. We find that the Jews lost their amal. They had the knowledge. They had lots of knowledge. But they didn't want to act upon it. Allah now reminds us of the Christians. See, Allah reminds us of the Jewish covenant, then Allah talks about the Christian covenant. And from those who call themselves Christians, we took their covenant, but they forgot a good deal of the message that was sent to them. The Christians lost their knowledge. The Jews lost their amal. The Christians lost their ilm. So we planted amongst them enmity and hatred till the day of judgment, and Allah will inform them of what they used to do. We find in this book, A World Lit Only by Fire, which is a history of the Renaissance, that author William Manchester says that in no other religion has there been so much sectarian killing and bloodshed as there has been in Christianity. Now they themselves admitted, so we planted amongst them enmity and hatred. Now if we look at the Jews and the Christians, these verses 12, 13 and 14, we find what was the common mistake they both made? They forgot a good part of the message that was given to them. Do we know the message that has been given to us today? What have we reduced the Quran to? Some magic words that we recite as wazifas, and we wear as tawizes, and we read that little pansura without knowing or caring about the rest of the Quran. We too have forgotten a large part of the message that was given to us. Allah says, O people of the book, now has come to you our messenger, explaining to you much of that which you used to hide from the scripture and pass over much. أَجَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, there has come to you from Allah a light and a clear book. يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهِ. This book, what is so special about it? Allah guides by this book all those who seek His pleasure. People say, the Quran doesn't move me. We need to seek Allah before He will respond. To ways of peace, subul as-salam. The Quran grants us strength which is unparalleled. Conviction, certainty, serenity. And He brings them out of darkness by His will into light. And He guides them to the straight path. As we read 2 days ago, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Cling to the rope of Allah altogether. Surely in disbelief are they who say that Allah is the Messiah, son of Maryam. Say, who then has the least power against Allah? If He were to destroy the Messiah, son of Maryam, His mother, and all those who are on the earth together, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and all that is between them. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He creates what He wills, and Allah is able to do all things. This surah contains a lot of clarifications about Christianity. First Allah spoke about Trinity, and then we know that there are Christians who claim that Isa was God Himself, na'uzubillah. So Allah is negating that. Both the Jews and the Christians say, we are the children of Allah and His loved ones. We Muslims also believe that, don't we? Oh, we can do whatever we like because we've said, la ilaha illallah, everything's going to be just fine. Say, why then does He punish you for your sins? No, you are but human beings of those He has created. He forgives whom He wills and He punishes whom He wills. Bearing a Muslim title, a Muslim label is not a guarantee of Jannah. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. To Him is the return. He is Maliki Yawmiddin. O people of the book, now has come to you our messenger, making clear unto you after a break in the series of messengers, lest you say, there came unto us no bringer of glad tidings and no warner, but now has come to you a bringer of good news and a warner. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And Allah is able to do all things. And remember when Musa said to his people, now we find in the following verses an example of how the Jews used to disobey Allah. Remember when Musa said to his people, O my people, remember the favor of Allah to you when He made prophets among you, made you kings, and gave you what He had not given to any other amongst the world. O my people, enter the holy land which Allah has assigned to you, and do not turn back, for then you will be returned as losers. They said, O Musa, in this holy land are a people of great strength, and we shall never enter it till they leave it. And when they leave, then we shall enter. Cowardice, fear of people, which we find amongst Muslims today. Two men of those who feared Allah, and on whom Allah had bestowed His grace, said, assault them through the gate, for when you are in, victory will be yours. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا. And put your trust in Allah. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers indeed. They said, O Musa, we shall never enter it as long as they are there. فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ. So you and your Lord go, فَقَاتِلَ. And fight both of you. We are sitting right here. Now look at their insolence. And we too sometimes adopt this apathetic attitude. You know, it's just society has gone too far. There's nothing we can do about it. And it's no use telling people. They're not going to listen. So this is the apathy that they are showing. And see how much Allah dislikes it. Musa said, O my Lord, I have power only over myself and my brother. It's such a forlorn dua. So separate us from the people who are disobedient to Allah. Allah said, therefore this holy land is forbidden to them for 40 years. In destruction they will wander through the land. فَلَا تَأْسَ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ So do not grieve over the disobedient people. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ And recite to them the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. With truth, when each offered a sacrifice to Allah, it was accepted from one and it was not accepted from the other. The latter said to the former, I will surely kill you. The former said, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Indeed Allah accepts only from those who are Allah conscious. Now, what is the sudden change in discourse that one minute Allah is telling us about the Jews and suddenly Allah is telling us about the story of Adam alayhi salam's two sons? The link is a very relevant one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the story of the first murder ever committed. It's a very beautiful and a very frightening story. Allah says, Adam alayhi salam had two sons and we know them as Cain and Abel. Now, when each offered a sacrifice to Allah, it was accepted from one and not from the other. Now we need to remember that a lot of people have this misconception that, you know, it was woman who's the cause of it all and it was their first crime was over a woman. Now Allah doesn't say that. He simply says when each offered a sacrifice to Allah, one sacrifice was accepted and the others wasn't. And it said that Abel presented the best of his wealth, of his crops, and Cain presented, you know, the worst of his property that he had, that he was sacrificing. Now what was Cain's response when he saw that Abel's sacrifice had been accepted? This is very important for us. Sometimes when we see Allah has blessed someone else and we immediately are devoured by envy and jealousy. He said, I will surely kill you. Now Abel said to him, indeed Allah accepts only from those who are Allah conscious. In other words, what is required when we do any good deed is taqwa. It's the quality of the deed, not the quantity. So Abel is actually telling him, not that I am so Allah conscious, he's telling him, analyze yourself. Try and purify yourself. And sometimes when we see people who have been given more than we have and we think to ourselves, what have they done that we haven't? We should actually be analyzing ourselves. Now, Abel uses arguments to dissuade Cain from his evil purpose. What does he say? If you stretch your hand against me to kill me, I shall never stretch my hand against you to kill you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ Because I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. See, this was what Abel told him. Abel is trying to remind Cain that if you kill me, then you're going to be the only sinner. I'm not going to stoop to your level. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Man qutila duna malihi fahuwa shaheed." Whoever is killed defending his wealth, he is a martyr. Whoever is killed defending his honor, he is a martyr. But one situation we find where both the murderer and the victim are in hellfire. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, the people were amazed and they said, "Why should the poor victim be in the hellfire?" And he said, "Innahu kana harisan ala qatli sahibihi," because he too wanted to kill his companion. So when two Muslims are facing one another, it's a fight to the death. Then whichever one dies or kills the other one, they're both going to go to hellfire. So that's why Abel says, "Indeed, I intend to let you draw my sin on yourself as well as yours. Then you will be one of the dwellers of the fire, and that is the recompense of the wrongdoers." Look at the words he uses in a desperate attempt to make Cain think about what he's doing. Remember Cain, if you kill me, you're going to be bearing my sins and you're going to end up in the hellfire. فَتَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِي But the self of the other, but the nafs, Cain's nafs encouraged him and made fair seeming to him the murder of his brother. Sometimes when we are cruel to someone and we have so many justifications for it, no, I know why I'm doing this and you know, I don't care what anyone else thinks. فَقَتَلَهُ So he kills him. And what happens? فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ He becomes one of the losers. Not Abel, Cain. And Cain is standing there, aghast probably at what he's done.